We'll learn more about a whole new world of energy in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the petroleum-powered studio of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the July 28th rain report. More and more folks today are changing horses in the middle of life's virtual stream. One ham who has is Bob Bredinga, WB4APR, the man whose automated packet radio system radically changed amateur radio tracking back in the 1990s. In 2007, Bob discovered a whole new world of energy. He now has made getting off the power grid his focus in life. His whole new world of energy is the electric vehicle, EV. He talked about his new crusade at the 2018 Dayton Hamvention in May. This is our second and final excerpt from his talk.
We are now at the point where EVs are better, cleaner, faster, cheaper to buy, cheaper to operate, and cheaper to maintain than gas cars. And yet you'll talk to the average guy on the street and they'll say they're too expensive. That was true up until 2013. In 2013, they broke even. And now the average cost of all 40 of those EVs on the market is $7,000 less than the average cost of all gas cars sold in America. You can refuel at home, independence from oil, no emissions, 0 to 60 in 2.3 seconds. Now you buy the right car to do what you want it to do. My energy reawakening started in 2007 when, again, I wanted an electric car. And the only thing you could do then was to modify a Prius. And I found I could get salvaged Priuses for about a couple thousand dollars. So most of what people think they know about electric cars is simply misinformed. You can look at all these excuses you hear. Not one of them is right in the right context. 90% of the transportation energy we consume is local. And that's what we're trying to solve with electric cars. We're not saying electric cars can do everything by any means. We're not going to take away your truck or anything else. But for 90% of that time when you're driving your truck around at 15 miles per gallon, are you really hauling a two-ton load? Not only in the last 8 years are we up to now 40 full-size electric cars available on the market, in the next 7 years there will be hundreds because Volvo has committed to all of their vehicles will be electrified by 2019. That's 1 year away. Now, when I say electrified, that does not mean it's full battery electric. That means it's a hybrid electric or a plug-in electric. GM, 10 models in China in 2 years from now. Mercedes-Benz, all models will be electrified in 4 years. Ford, more than half. Including the F-150, you'll be able to buy a plug-in hybrid version of that. Nissan, 12 new EVs by 2022. Hyundai, 2022. BMW, 25 models by 2025. And VW Group, 80 models. VW, Porsche, all their specialty models. And they're building 16 new plants to make 3 million cars a year. We're at 40 cars now. And in 7 years from now, it'll be unusual to buy a gas car. And here's the problem with buying a gas car. The average car in America stays on the road for 18 years. So if you go out and buy a big gas guzzler today, it's going to be 18 years before that thing is finally scrapped. And that's long past the time that we've been worrying about what we're doing to our atmosphere. And how much you can be able to resell that for in 5 years when the going thing on the market is electric cars. So we just need to make sure that everybody is informed when they go to buy a car. Be informed of what is available in the electric market and the hybrid market. I took that one sheet list that we used to publish and I put all the battery electrics on one page and I drew a line near the bottom, which is the average cost of the average gasoline car in America, which is $35,000. And you see that 80% of all full-size battery electric cars on the market today cost less than the average gas car. I took the plug-in hybrids. Drew the line, and here about 45% of all the plug-in hybrids are cheaper than the average American gas car. Now, I'm talking averages. Sure, you can go buy a four-wheel thing from China that can get you around for less than $35,000, but Americans don't buy them. They're spending $60,000 for a pickup truck. You can argue about averages all you want. And the reason is that the EVs are just going to take over the market is it's only got one moving part in the engine, and it costs less to operate and costs much less to maintain. This is the point I like to make. A battery is not a tank. A tank is something you use to empty and then fill up once a week or so. And so you're concerned about being able to drive all week before you have to fill up again, so you think about range. A battery is something you use and charge. You use it while you're driving it, and you charge it while you're parked. Complete paradigm shift. Remember I talked about the go ask your neighbor to plug in your electric car, and he says, well, it cost him $40 to fill up his little sedan gas tank, and he thinks, well, you plug in that you're just going to run up his electric bill by $40. No, 14 cents a kilowatt hour, which is what we pay, it's basically 20 cents an hour to charge an electric car. And if you do an 8-hour charge at 20 cents an hour, it's about $1.60 a day. And that's if you go the full 40 miles every single day. So that's one of the things I want to get changed, is the perception of the cost of electricity for electric cars, so that when you do get stuck on the road, and yeah, somebody's going to let you plug in, but they're going to be thinking, this is going to cost me a lot of money. Now you say, here's $2 for it. And they'll say, go away. Every EV can charge from a standard 120-volt outlet. You hear all this stuff about public charging and high-speed chargers and everything else. If you buy an electric car with the idea of public charging, you don't understand an electric car. An electric car is for local travel. You plug it in while it's parked. You'd be crazy to take it on a trip. And then Tesla came out and says, no, forget that. We're going to drive them on trips, and we're going to give you free electricity all the way across the country. So Tesla kind of upset the boat of saying electric cars are absolutely perfect for everything local, commuting, and everything else. And Tesla saying, yeah, but you can drive them across country too. So anyway, remember, even a Tesla can plug from a standard 120-volt outlet. People say, well, it takes a long time. Well, I don't know about you, but I sleep. I'd like to sleep 8 hours a day, and that's enough to pick up 50 miles on any electric car plugged into a standard wall outlet. Most charging is going to be residential at home, but where else are cars parked most of the time? They're at home and at work. You do both of those, that's 97% of the daily miles of everybody in America if you just plug in at home and at work. And that's from a standard 120-volt power outlet. Yes, there are a lot of public chargers in shopping centers and malls to try to get EVs rolling, but again, I wouldn't plan on plugging in there, because right now only 1% of the drivers are driving electric cars. As soon as you get up to 30%, you're not going to find an empty charger. But that's not a concern for me, because again, you plug in while you're parked. Once a month, I might go out of my daily range someplace. Okay. Does it make sense? Back when the Tesla first came out, you could get the 250-mile battery for a $120,000 car. You could buy exactly the same car for only $70,000 with the smaller battery with only 150-mile range. You just spent $50,000 for the ability to save 20 minutes on the way to New York City once a month. That's not cost-effective in my book.
You're getting a crash course on electric vehicles voiced by Bob Breninga, WB4APR, the man who revolutionized amateur radio tracking with his automated packet radio system, APRS, back in the 1990s. We'll conclude our sojourn into the modern electric vehicle in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
People think they want the longest range battery, and I say that is absurd. You want the smallest battery that does your daily need. And if you need to go beyond that, drive a hybrid or borrow your wife's car. That's a very good point. Take it to train. Everybody is so up on this high-speed charging. The state of Maryland, their assessment, they did a big study, you know, they're a progressive state. 0.3% of the charging needs to be high-speed charging. And it only needs to be along the interstate, because all the rest of the time, the cars are parked. This is what GM used way back in the early days. It shows 7 days a week across the bottom, 24 hours a day going up. And we only use our cars about 20% of the time. In a gas car, that's when you've got to refuel. That's why you're so focused on the inconvenience of refueling, is because you always have to do it when you're on your way somewhere. An electric vehicle never even thinks about it, because he just goes out and does his things, come home, plugs in. Every time he gets in the car, it's fully charged. Nissan is now 10 years or 8 years, and for the longest time, they said, we will always guarantee that you could replace the battery for $5,000. Now, compared to a $3,000 transmission job, that's, you know, the same ballpark. Now they're saying they'll do it for $2,500. Now, that's a rebuilt thing, just like a rebuilt transmission. But the cost of the battery is not really an issue. The costs are coming down. Oh, and you know, 8 years from now, imagine how cheap the battery will be to replace the one you have if you had to. There are Chevy Volts with 350,000 miles on them and still on the original battery. generally, the electric car manufacturers will claim, and they're mostly right, that there have been no long life failures yet to date. There have been a lot of early failures because of manufacturing issues and everything, all under warranty and so forth. And then there was the issue of the Nissan batteries down in Tucson, where they get to 160 degrees in the shade, and they wore those out. Generally, they're lasting as long as they said they would, as long as they're not abused. But anyway, so the gas car has to refuel while they're using it. You got all the rest of this time to do it, and most of that time is parked at home or at work or at school. And if we just get to the concept of put a 120-volt outlet by every parking spot where a car is going to be for 8 hours or so, charging is solved. So I say public charging is only a security blanket. It's like carrying a spare gallon in your gas tank, in your gas car. And every place you see an outdoor outlet, ask the owner, hey, would you consider putting up an electric vehicle charging sign? You've got an electric vehicle charging station. Don't you want to attract customers? And remember, the load of an electric car plugged in 120 volts is just the standard 1.5 kW. It's only 12 amps from a standard 15-amp outlet. That's the way electric cars are designed, never to draw more than 12 amps from a 15-amp outlet. So they're not going to shut your house down or whatever you plug into. Also, remember, if you charge at home and you have a place you can plug in at work, now you've just doubled the range of your short-range electric car. I talked about the pure battery electrics. Most of those plug-in hybrids are only going to have 25, 30-mile range because you got the gas backup. So why not just put enough battery in there to do most of what you do every day on battery, and don't worry about it. The Prius plug-in has a 600-mile range when you include the gas, and you don't even notice the transition between the two. You know, it just uses battery and said, oh, you want to go further, and you got another 600 miles on the gas tank. But anyway, if you can plug in at home and work, remember you can double the range of your car because you got 8 hours at home and 8 hours there. When you double your range, you quadruple your territory by four. Anyway, going renewable energy is easy. I started back in 2007 when I bought that first Prius, and then the second Prius. Then I put up my first solar panels. And in our state, you can sign up for wind just by checking a box on your utility bill and say, I want all my power to come from renewables. And it costs a fraction of a penny more. But what's the purpose of buying an electric car except to stop dumping stuff into our atmosphere by clean energy? So then the biggest one was the 1,000 gallons of heating oil I was burning. I put in a geothermal heat pump. I used to spend $6,000 a year on energy when you add up the oil, the electricity, the fact that I had incandescent lights, they had three cars and three kids, three other drivers besides me, $1,500 a year on gasoline, $6,000 a year on energy. Now I spend $300 because everything comes from solar. That started in 2010, and what kept me out, and notice I have exactly the date, the third Saturday in August in 2010 is when I finally had the duh moment and realized this whole modern revolution about solar power is because of grid tie. You don't have to have batteries for storage. You know, I'm a ham. I always want to have batteries in the basement. I'm a ham. I hate having batteries in the basement. They're always discharged. You're always messing with them, you know. So anyway, when you get rid of the battery, it's just a revolution. No moving parts, nothing to wear out. Solar cost has come down 100-to-1 since I was a kid. And they were predicting that it would be cheaper than coal by 2020. We passed that point in 2015. Electricity from solar is now cheaper than coal.
And that concludes our two excerpts from a 2018 Dayton Hamvention presentation about the modern electric vehicle presented by Bob Breninga, WB4APR. He was the man who turned amateur radio tracking on its ear back in the 1990s with his APRS, Automated Packet Radio System technology, but who is on a personal crusade today to get hams and non-hams alike to wean themselves from the national power grid by adopting electric vehicle technology. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights reserved. This hamcast updates Saturday both on the rainreport.com and on WTWW shortwave out of Lebanon, Tennessee around 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time Saturday night on 5.085 megahertz. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming.